Over the years, we've brought you blockbusters, box office bombs, sports films, and Air Bud. But there's one genre at Apocalypse Video that has been grossly unappreciated. Until now. Because this summer, we're pumping up the volume. From the video store that brought you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volumes 1 through 3 comes the newest, most exhilarating Summer Film Fest yet. Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. Featuring films like Flashdance, Saturday Night Fever.
We just washed the hair. No, I work on my hair a long time. And you hit it. It hits my hair.
Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
Is this square? Is this square good or bad? It's bad. See, this is square.
Magic Mike.
Can you talk to me?
All of your favorites are here. Plus, a few surprises.
So far, this is not blowing my skirt up, gentlemen.
So get ready for the hottest moves you've ever seen as Apocalypse Video brings you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. And it starts now.
Good evening. You live here?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your name?
Kim.
Kim, can you move back for me, please? We keep getting complaints of noise and underage drinking. Everybody sit down. We're going to be here for a while.
You don't have anything sharp on you that I can stick myself with, do you?
No.
Good. Because I do.
The businesses that I manage, they deal exclusively in cash.
Wow, busy guy.
We welcome to stage the one, the only.
Magic Mike.
You are the husband that they never had. You are that dreamboat guy that never came along.
Yeah, that's a cool table. Are you Maynard?
Hmm?
You should sell these things.
That's actually the idea.
My sister?
Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
So how do you know my brother?
I'm an entrepreneur. I manage a few businesses.
Trying to hit on my sister?
Okay, good talk.
Entrepreneur stripper, stripper entrepreneur?
Either one.
I was hoping this was all a joke.
It's pretty funny.
I'm just trying to figure out why stripping.
Women, money, and a good time.
Just try not to forget about the people who exist in the daylight. The non-vampire.
Right. Are we fighting? Is this our first fight?
So if you could do the one thing that make you the happiest every morning.
The custom furniture.
Custom furniture. So you must be really good with your hands. I just can't be around your lifestyle.
Am I Magic Mike right now talking to you? I'm not my lifestyle.
Do you believe what you're saying right now?
That too, the law says that you cannot touch.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers up in this house.
Wow, that's a lot of ones.
There were some fives in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No 20s?
You don't want to know what I have to do for 20s. So you're going to come to the show tonight?
No.
You're going to come to the show tonight?
No.
You just said over there that you like the show.
That doesn't mean I'm going to go again.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Club 69 in Bartertown. I'm your host, Dave, and thank you for joining us this evening for another episode of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Part 4. Now, that's what I call dance movies. We're joined again by, you know him, you love him, the cock-rocking kings and queens of the wasteland. I'm joined again by, of course, Ryan Bighead Caldwell. Give him a hand.
I think I see a lot of lawbreakers in the house tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
We're also joined by Lord of the Wasteland. He has a million abs. Check him out, folks. Nick Amortenhoof.
Oh, you don't want to know what I have to do for 20s.
We're also joined by returning guests, Kara.
Are you ready to be the man? That's my Matthew McConaughey impression. Spot on.
You gotta go from the back of your neck.
I don't want Janet to die, so I think I'll.
It's literally visceral. It's visceral.
We're also joined, of course, by Matthew McConaughey fanboy. I should say a recent convert, maybe. We'll see if the episode unfolds the way I think it will. Jana.
Okay, I'm stealing one of Kara's because I didn't remember anything. Richie, that's fucking Mike Rosewade. When he said that, I was like, okay, this part I like.
Can someone help me out here? My leg's looking a little ashy. Can someone spray me down, please?
That was more like the other guy, Tarzan. Right?
Yeah, you know who that is, right? Cody clocked it right away, and I was like, oh my God, you're right.
That's Kevin Nash himself.
Freaking Kevin Nash. He was like, Cody was like, is that Diesel? I was like, no, it's like that. It's like that guy from The Wrestler or whatever. And he was like, and I was like, wait, that does kind of look like Kevin Nash. Because when I saw
it. You thought that was Mickey Rourke?
Yes. When I first saw this movie, I didn't know who Kevin Nash was.
Well, that was before you got really into wrestling, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, this was when it first came out. I saw it in theaters with my lady friends.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing with this movie.
Yeah. And it was the original Barbie.
Or shall we say this is the original Ken? Is that more appropriate?
Maybe. I mean, Matt Bomer does do his little stint as a Ken doll.
Well, I just have one question for you, Jana. Is Magic Mike Ken enough?
I can't understand. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's from the movie Barbie. I thought you saw it.
I did, but with that horrible drawl, I didn't understand what you said.
Well, maybe I'll just take my drawl down to Miami. I'll make way more money down there. Well, Magic Mike, y'all. As Ryan kind of like implied, this was sort of a thing when it came out. Like Magic Mike, especially I think when the sequel came out a few years later, Magic Mike XXL. Like Magic Mike was a thing. Like, does anybody have any real kind of experience with like the ground floor when this came out? What it was like when it was coming out?
Yeah, I saw it with my friends in the theater. There was like a group of six or seven of us.
Wow.
I know. And after the movie, we were all like, oh, this was my favorite one. This was my favorite one. I was absolutely shocked and disgusted to learn that one of my friends loved Matthew McConaughey. And I was like, he's so gruesome in this movie.
Like
I cannot believe it.
Gruesome.
You fucking make it count, baby. You walk out. You own it. You look around. You tease. You seduce. Clock eyes, but don't lock in on any of them. You gotta believe that you are inside every single while. When the time's right, you'll know it. Boom! Stick it. That right there is like hitting the G-spot every single time.
I can't believe that you think that this man is sexy.
But he plays a guitar and everything.
What was that?
He's got a cowboy.
He has a hat.
Yeah, he has a hat.
Did anybody memorize the song?
No, it was very pleasant and sexy.
I don't remember what he played. I missed it when it came out. Not that I didn't want to. I just didn't. No, missed it.
It's a Steven Soderbergh movie. Yeah. It's not like it's from like a brand new director. This is an established director who's done like Ocean's 11 through 13. Kara's making a face like, okay, that's a good thing. Not an Ocean's fan over
like,
there.
He just won the Oscars for, what was it, Traffic and Aaron Brockovich?
Oh, no, I
that's right, he did Aaron Brockovich.
I was surprised when I saw that's who directed it, because I was like, what? This? He did this?
Well, it's because this movie has more than meets the eye here.
That explains the heist midway through.
He could have... He's kind of known for now as one of those guys that does like everything. So sort of just like
he has no
no established style. I mean, there's kind of you kind of can, but he's not.
He loves making locations look yellow. I've noticed that.
Piss yellow.
So Cody watched this with us, and then he had to dip to go find more movies to bring to Dave and the movie store.
Well, also, he owes me $10,000.
Avatar 3.
He snuck in when you couldn't notice him, Dave, and then he dipped out so that you wouldn't.
Did he watch the whole show, at least?
He watched the whole thing, and he absolutely was here for it. He really liked this movie.
Surprising no one.
It's funny, like, I've been trying to take note of recurring themes that pop up or recurring imagery between these movies that we watch, and with this and Flashdance, like, I gotta salute the...
Back to Flashdance, poor.
It all comes back to Flashdance, folks. But no, I was gonna say, like, I gotta salute the creativity of the dance numbers in what is otherwise a relatively small space. Like, they do some pretty creative things with these dances in this.
You get the raining men.
That was great. The choreography was good, and I love how they have these moments where they bring like a sheet out, and it's like this silhouette. And there's a particular scene with the silhouette, which is like, whoa.
Dave was making that face.
Dave was like, was doing the same face as the lady.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Like,
admittedly, it was kind of like that Boogie Nights moment where you're like, oh, okay, clearly that's a prosthetic, but...
Dave, this one hung to his knee. I've never seen Boogie Nights, but yes, I don't think anybody was meant to think that it was real.
It's a magic trick, you know? It's an illusion.
Power of the penis pump.
Yeah, it was the...
Yeah, we got that chop.
Right. Swedish-made penis enlarger.
Can I say in that scene, as a quick aside, I appreciated that while that scene went on, so it begins with Joe Manganiello, like, using a penis pump, and the kid character, who we'll talk about in a minute, is just sort of, like, eyeing, like, you know, kind of, like, stealing glances, like, is that really happening in front of me? And then as the scene goes on and they move away from Joe Manganiello, you could still hear the penis pump in the background throughout the whole scene. And ultimately, it makes sense because, as we said, it ends up below his knees, so he would have theoretically had to have been pumping for some time.
Yeah. Those things don't actually work, though, right?
Science.
I mean, it's not even believable when he's using a penis pump.
Well, maybe we should try it out. You got one here in the store, Dave?
We'll mail order one and see what it's all about.
Yeah, we'll take turns.
We'll do it. I was going to say, we'll do it in a controlled environment. We'll do it on like a banana first and see what happens to the banana. If it explodes, then maybe we won't want to use it.
Okay. You have bananas, Dave?
Yeah.
We're not ready for human trials yet, Ryan.
You have bananas and you don't?
We got to take this thing back to, well, they're not real bananas. Oh, okay. You know, they're like the little nerds. They're not nerds. Is it nerds?
Runts.
Yeah, nerds.
Runts. Yeah. We'll test it on the runts.
I was going to say, I have heard your workers beg you to feed them before. So if you're holding bananas out on them, that's some evil shit.
He's a real McConaughey, I must say. You know?
Well, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. You get equity. EQUITY.
So what the fuck is going on in Miami?
Miami is looking good. I got a couple of loopholes I got to get through with the real estate attorneys down there. But after that, it's going to be all green lights, brother.
What you need from me? What's my side?
You just got to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah?
You level your heads out, your focus. Like a big brother to this team. You keep that up, you're gonna make a lot more than this door money, I guarantee you that.
Both ways this time, though, right?
Two-way street, man.
I want you here to say the word, equity.
EQUITY.
Say it. You're just gonna change your whole vibe from this movie, huh?
I hope I hope not, because one thing I didn't like with McConaughey, to get into the whole McConaughey of it all, I really dislike it when people like are aggressively like slapping you, you know, for like like I really dislike that stuff, and we see that a lot in this movie, in particular from Mr. McConaughey. Like that always makes me uncomfortable.
Who did he slap?
Like, no, everyone. Like, hey, man.
Oh, he was very touchy-feely. It's actually funny that you bring that up, though, because there were parts of the movie, I saw this when it first came out, but I didn't remember everything. There were parts of the movie where I was like, they are, like, it's a much more subtle, like, pimp vibe because he doesn't actually hit anybody, you know? But then there's also parts of it where you're like, this guy has the attitude of a pimp.
Or just sort of like like a cult leader almost. Yes. Like he, you know what I mean? Like the way he talks to him, it's like, yeah, you're going to get ready. And like, yeah, this is your time. It's just, I don't know. It just, there's a layer of uncomfortableness about his performance.
It's very, he's very, doing a good job. I bet he did it on purpose. I bet you he did it on purpose. Yeah. I bet he was like, this is still sex work, you know, in a way. So it's like the people who are drawn to that to be the power ones, and he's obviously very money hungry. That seems to be what he's mostly focused on. They are, you know, inwardly kind of violent, kind of angry, kind of sociopathic of like, what's mine is mine. I only care about people if they can make me money. And all I care about is money. And what's mine?
And McConaughey does love himself, too. When we see his house during that hurricane sequence, it's just like art of himself.
He has a picture, a painting of himself. What is he doing in it?
He's got a snake around himself.
Yes, he has a snake.
Yes. And there's like a sculpture of him, too.
Yeah, it's like it's David, really Statue bizarre. Of David, but it's McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah, the snake.
Well, folks, well, everyone listening is probably wondering, like, so what's this movie about? I take it there's some dancing maybe involved and maybe some nakedness. I don't know. Who wants to take up the reins of the synopsis for Magic Mike?
I don't want to.
Crickets.
Good if I do.
There's not a lot of plot.
Yeah,
really.
It's kind of a day, well, I should say like a few months in the life type of movie.
Yes, yeah, and that was actually, you know, he kept whispering to me during the movie, and I was like, you hate it when other people do this, you stop doing this. But that's what Cody liked about it, he told me, was that he liked the realness of it. He said even the conversation seemed very like real world conversations, when somebody would typically do like a quippy line in like another movie or something. He was like,
kind of sits in the awkwardness a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Like for instance, like when Channing is kind of there at the club, you know, trying to get like, you know, get girls to come to the
show.
What would you call it? Yeah. The show. Yeah. The show. And, just kind of like it, that sort of, it's not very quippy. They're not very like cool. But they are, you know. I don't know. It just kind of like feels pretty natural, yeah.
Well, what does their pitch consist of? I mean, he tells the kid who. So, like, just to jump into the synopsis, Channing Tatum is the titular Magic Mike. Hey, I used it right this time, guys. I used the word titular right this time. I did it. He is the titular Magic Mike. He is a stripper at. I don't know if we ever really find out the name of the club.
Like, it's exquisite male room,
like a big X.
Oh, okay. That's like the name of the promotion, right?
That's the name of the review place.
The review, yeah. I guess I was expecting like a cool, like sexy name for like the actual place itself.
You wanted it to be called Magic Mike's?
Yeah. Lost opportunity there.
You wanted it to be triple exquisite. Why stop at 1X, Matthew?
I feel basically like exquisite sounds more like, I feel like driving through like, what is it, like Scottsdale Row, there's like all those like strip clubs and stuff. They all kind of look like exquisite with an X, you know what I mean?
But it is very hard to read. You're right. It wasn't until like the last time that they showed us the building that I was like, I should figure out what this actually says.
So anyway, Magic Mike is a male dancer. He works at Exquisite All Male Review, or he's also an entrepreneur, as we find out throughout the course of the movie. He likes to make furniture with like reclaimed, like essentially like trash or other objects.
furniture.
One of a kind, unique. Not that knockoff bullshit. Not the knockoff bullshit you find at Target or anything like that. So he's an entrepreneur. He's saving up his money. He's been dancing for 6 years, and he's hoping to. He just needs a loan, you know? Like, he's going to banks. He's dressed up in a suit and glasses, by the way, which make him look very respectable. But since his credit is so low and he's paid via cash because McConaughey's a scumbag, he just can't get approved for loans to get his furniture business off the ground.
He has a couple different things going on. He also works the construction. He's in a lot, yeah. He also works the construction, mm-hmm. which is paid under the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, throughout the movie, I was like, I don't understand, like, why it's such a big deal that he has a low credit score. I don't understand. I didn't understand, well, like, the feeling of the movie, the way they treat him. He's 30 years old.
Yeah, I think it must be just, like, you know, he's been paying with cash for so long. Yes. And I think, like, probably, didn't he have, like, another, like, a truck for a business? And that's probably used to, like, for the stuff he gets under the table, you know? It's like a laundering kind of stuff. So just like, you know, 10 years of, you know, yeah. that kind of stuff has just kind of put him way down. Even though he's successful, he's just like, you know, the man's got him by the balls.
Yeah.
Know?
So Adam, the main character, is 19. I thought that Mike was a similar age. He's 30 years old and he has not had a job where you get paid other than under the table. And, you know, so a lot of the focus of the movie is, like, the flavor of the movie is, at some point, you got to grow up.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, and basically, what's the character, the 19-year-old's name?
Adam.
Adam, like, he's almost, like, I thought, like, I had never seen this all the way through, but I remember watching bits on TV, and I was surprised that, I was like, oh, this is his story, but it's not, he's really just like, for the beginning, almost like the surrogate for us to going into this world, really. Yeah. And then he's kind of gone after that, really, a little bit.
Now, I'm going to be verging into Dave territory here with this next sentence, but
All right.
I feel like that in like they should have cast someone younger to play Adam, or younger looking, because they look the same age until like the very end when she was like, you're a 30-year-old stripper. I was like, he's 30? He looks like... Like, they look the same age.
Yes.
They should have had somebody that looked younger.
It's almost
like... Yeah, it's a really, like, 21 Jump Street situation where they look the same age.
Yeah, I mean, I can buy Channing as 30. It's like, the other guy does look 30 also, though, I think.
Wait a second. Yeah. I gotta go back to this. Nick, you're a genius, because in this movie, Channing Tatum says, do you want to be best friends? And I'm pretty sure in 21 Jump Street, he also says... Do you want to be best friends?
I think Adam says
that. No, Channing does, doesn't he?
No, he says, well, maybe.
They jump off the bridge.
Oh, the kid, yeah, because when they jump off the bridge, the kid's like, I think we should be best friends.
Oh, okay, Adam.
Hey, Mike, I think we should be best friends.
Yeah, it was that first night.
That's
he, like,
where he got it from.
That's where he got it from.
It's a good line.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike. I think we should be best friends. Okay. Let's go.
But you're right, though. Like, he doesn't give off 19 vibes. He just looks too old.
Especially comparatively.
Yeah, they needed an actor that had that more naivete. That, hey, do you want to be best friends? You
know? It's almost like, I think maybe you're supposed to be surprised, like, almost. Because, like, maybe, because he's, like, he meets him on the construction site and kind of, like, you kind of think this guy's like a fuck up or something for a while.
He's wearing tennis shoes.
Yeah, and then he realized, like, oh, he is younger. I don't know. Like, it's tough. It's a tough age, and we're also getting old, and maybe we're just have our eyes, well, we're losing it.
We have old eyes.
The movie doesn't really balance Adam, the kid's character, the way they introduce his different story beats, because, like, you know, when they're on the island for the 4th of July party, the sister reveals that, oh, he got kicked out of college, right? Mm-hmm. And then they also show flashes of his violence when he, like, roughs up the guy at the bar. He's like, and when he's, like, trying to talk to the 21-year-old. And so they keep, like, dropping these little breadcrumbs about this character. But,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't come across as a 19-year-old per se.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's interesting, too, because when we first see him trying to get into the club, we don't know how old he is. So it's like, it kind of seems like he can't get in because there's a line, but he can't get in because he's not 21.
Well, I think that, and also you can't wear like a hoodie to a club.
Yeah, that's funny because Channing Tatum's character, Mike, he's the one that's like, you're not going to get in because you're wearing like a hoodie. Oh, ditch your
shorts,
sneakers. He keeps giving him grief for sneakers.
Yeah, you have to wear a lot of those nice shoes and such to one of those clubs. I don't know. Yeah, he just kind of lets him in because he's the man. He's Magic.
It is Tampa. Everybody is very dressed to the nines in Tampa, I bet.
Yeah,
so that's basically the story. Like, Magic Mike's kind of the elder statesman, a 30-year-old stripper, and he's been doing this for a long time. He's saving up to be a furniture salesman of his own furniture. I don't want to undersell that.
But he's good at what he does with that.
And he's good at what he does. And he ends up meeting this kid, as Ryan said, on this construction job, because Mike has several other things going on aside from stripping that he does for money. And he sort of takes him under his wing, and he notices him at the... Or they run into each other at this club later, and he's like, maybe this kid's got something. I'll try him out here. Like, go talk to those girls and see. And ultimately, we find out that he has them go over to talk to
them
so that he can.
Out.
He's basically yes, he's basically using him as a way to like get them to come to the dance or not the dance, the Enchantment Under the Sea dance later. No, it's to come to our show later so we can get more money out of them later when we strip.
Well, and we also the very first. Not seen, but area where we meet Adam. We see his bad boy criminal streak because he takes two sodas.
So, what do you got in your bag? Why don't you open it up?
Got nothing in the bag.
Why don't you open the fucking bag before I open your fucking head up? How's that?
I got a nice ham cheese sandwich.
You know how to read? Huh? One Pepsi a day. Read the cooler. I'm going to do my inventory. If I come up short, I'm coming right to you.
Oh, yeah.
That son of a bitch. I'm doing inventory. This is my life. See, I'm always telling Ryan and Mike, I do an inventory. And if I come up short at the end of the month, I'm coming to you first.
Only one soda a day.
Yeah. One soda a day. And one box of Red Vines, Ryan. You hear me?
He says, can you fucking read? It only says, I was like... Oh, my God!
It was an uncomfortable glimpse into the behind-the-scenes at Apocalypse Video. When that scene came up, Mike wasn't here. Ryan was just like, he was kind of squirming in his chair. He was having flashbacks. Oh.
I just like dropped out of my backpack like four live wires.
Yeah, anyway, getting back to the synopsis, he takes him under his wing, and eventually something happens with the prior mentioned Kevin Nash, who plays Tarzan in this movie. I think he ends up having like kind of an overdose or something, right? Before he's supposed to go out.
Yeah, they drink some kind of crazy alcohol, like a straight up. What they call it was like, it's basically like straight up alcohol without the calories they were calling it.
Yeah, does anybody know what that is?
I don't know, but Gabriel Iglesias gave it to him in like this unmarked water bottle, which was very uncomfortable.
It looked like piss. Like
it looked like pee.
Yeah.
Well, he said it was alcohol without the calories. I can't imagine. I have no idea what that would be.
It's just
when this crazy cool guy Magic Mike takes it and it's like, this tells you it's okay to drink.
And
they're
drinking out of
the
cap, a water cap, so it's supposed to be crazy.
Out of the cap. He's like, here, take half a cap. It's like half a cap. My God, how potent is this? But anyway, he takes that and they're like, all right, we need someone to replace Tarzan. He's passed out. They send the kid out there, and it is the most awkward non-dance I've ever seen in my life, because he just like slowly walks out on stage and Magic Mike's shouting instructions to him from behind the stage, like, just take your clothes off, come on take your clothes off. And it's just, I was so uncomfortable because he's like doing that thing where you're awkwardly like standing on one leg to get one shoe off and you take the other.
Well, that's maybe what the girls liked about it. It was like a little very realistic take your clothes off before Well, it was
certainly a change of pace, and it's probably, I gotta imagine you're right. People only liked it because it was like, oh, well, this is different and unique. You know, it's not a staged production. It's just this guy literally just taking his clothes off awkwardly.
He was the last one to go, I think, right? So everybody's already drunk, hopped up on the adrenaline from all the other people.
Yes.
So they're just like, hey, that's cutie pie.
But he kind of turns it around when he jumps off the stage, and he kind of gets into it a little bit, and he does the no, 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 and he kisses one of the customers. You gotta be careful, as Matthew McConaughey says, you don't know if they have herpes or not, man, or something like that.
I mean, okay. The disgust with me with Matthew McConaughey started from the very beginning because
get into it.
When we first see him, he's doing what you just did, Dave, which is the can you touch here? No, 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 no. Can you touch here?
I see a lot of lawbreakers out there, Jana.
No, and it's just like, oh my God.
He's like grabbing his crotch. Can you touch this? Nah.
He's kind of like, I don't know. He in this dose, like this, like him as like a supporting player in movies like this is like the best. I don't know. For some reason, I love it. Like, it's just enough where he's just like, God, what a presence. You
if
know?
It was
he's
more crazy. than the screen time in this, it would be too much.
Yeah, but
he couldn't be the main character. It would just be too much.
But I think it's just like, I think he's great in this. This amount of movie, I feel like.
If he was the main character, it would be like
gross.
It would be like a dramatic, voyeuristic journey while this man just, you know, goes down to his darkest depths of humanity. That's what it would be.
Yeah, he's I think he's great in this though. I think he's awesome. But he's basically one of the villains.
Essentially.
He does get under your skin, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and really, like, God, that scene later on when they're all holed up in his house during that hurricane, I was just like, it was just too gross. With all the McConaughey imagery around his house, and again, the fact that he's just like, again, it does feel like a cult almost. And it's just in this moment when Magic Mike is sort of having this realization, like, oh, like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, and he's also getting close. I mean, I think this movie is about basically like loneliness. Really, I think that's really what it's about. Yeah. And so it's like he has like, you know, you think he has it all, whatever, and he's like together, but he has like doesn't have a meaningful relationships. You know, maybe he thinks he does, but it's not from the other end. And so that's why he kind of attaches to this kid. He's like, oh, there's a kid I can be friends with, you know, because he just needs a friend. And so he starts getting close with the sister and the family. And that's sort of what the movie's about.
It was a real bummer. His whole relationship or lack thereof with Olivia Munn. And Olivia Munn throughout the movie is just sort of like, I'm just here for threesomes, man. Like, I'm not here to go to breakfast the next day. Like, I'm just here to do it, you know. And she's pretty upfront with that. So it's like, you know, not like in her defense, there's never any point where it's just like, you know, let's go for brunch or like come meet my parents or anything like that. She is pretty on Front Street about like what the dynamic of this relationship is. And you know, it just sucks for Channing Tatum because he's looking for something more. And every time like he calls her, she's just like, well, especially it's personified with that one scene on the beach when the kid and his sister, we haven't really talked about his sister much. Her name was
Joanne.
Brooke.
Oh, Joanna.
Yeah, when Joanna was Olivia Munn, yeah. When they go to the beach and Joanna walks up, Olivia Munn's character, and he's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then you could tell that Brooke, Adam's sister, is kind of uncomfortable like by their dynamic a little bit. Because Olivia Munn keeps like trying, like, oh, you got tattoos. And literally there's a tattoo like kind of like just beneath like her bikini bottom. And Olivia Munn's just kind of pawing at it like, oh, yeah, let me see that. It's just like, let me see what's beneath your bikini bottom. And clearly Brooke is like, dude, stop doing that. It's like, and then like Olivia Munn's just like, what does she say? She has that line where she's just like, we're trying to fuck her, not have breakfast with her, or something
dinner,
like that. It's just
not
like,
buy
whoa.
Her dinner.
Not buy her dinner.
No, he's like, he's like, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. She's more of a dinner type or whatever.
Like she goes, oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. That part is very funny.
You kind of jumped ahead a little bit, David. I wanted to talk about when Adam, like, so he does so well at his virgin dance, whatever. Which was
his virgin dance.
Yeah, that's sort of what he was. Yeah,
that is what. And that was the song playing too. It was Like a Virgin.
Yes. Yeah. And then
Soderbergh knows what he's doing.
The next time he's dancing, Brooke is there. And I'm like, this is so bizarre. Why would you go see your brother at a striptease male review?
I think what's implied is that he told her to come because she found his box.
Yes, he says that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They like believe what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, what do you mean your job? And then it like hard cuts to her at the thing. So he's probably like, come see what it's about.
Yes. It's disgusting. She literally sees his ass. Well,
I think she's like the mother figure, you know, trying to make sure he's not like, you know.
Well, I went back and forth on Brooke a little bit because like initially, like when he brings like him and Channing Tatum get like the supplies he needs, like, thongs, well, you're going to need some American flag thongs or whatever. You're going to need that. And they get this costume ready and he's at home and he's like shaving his legs and everything. And she gets home and she sees this box filled with this stuff. And she immediately was like, what the hell are you doing?
No,
you
know what I mean? She thought he was gay.
She thinks he's gay, and she's
well, that's when I wasn't on her side because she's just like, look, I'm not judging you. No, you're totally judging you. That's exactly what you're doing. Don't even. I'm not judging you, but let me judge you.
I don't like Brooke. I think that she is as wooden and plastic as those tables that Channing Tatum makes. But during that part, you know, as the movie progresses, and this might be why you kind of swing on her a little bit, Dave, back and forth, is we get glimpses as the movie progresses as to how out of control Adam possibly has been in the past and can be in the type of characterization that he is.
Yeah.
So I think some of that is like, I don't care what you're doing as long as you're being safe. And it's just like, maybe even a read of like some sort of slight bipolarism or something. We don't know. But it's just like, you know, in that moment, she might have thought, oh, is this another like going down the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was just concerned for her brother given his past.
I think there's a lot of details thrown throughout with even like what their lives are probably like. Like, I don't know. Like, I get this vibe. Like, she talks about that tattoo just like when I was like 17, whatever, got this. And I have this feeling that they weren't brought up in the perfect environment. And then she like worked her way into like getting into be a medical assistant. And like the parents never brought up. And so I think they had kind of a rough go, those two. And so she's kind of like the only one taking care of this guy. And that's kind of, I think that's all implied, which is really interesting.
Well, especially with her boyfriend, is it Paul? Is that guy's name? The rich guy? Paul. Yeah, like it's implied that she doesn't even really like him. It's kind of like she's just going with this guy because it's like he's kind of the more safe option.
Yeah, he's a douchebag. You know what I mean?
He's a total douche. Yeah. But she's clearly not interested in what he's saying, like at dinner. It's just like, I think you're kind of right, Ryan. Like she wants to get away from guys like Magic Mike, you know, because she wants to go with something more safe and something more like this might have a future, even if I,
but
if
the guy's, I think, like, I think she had, her own like thing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's another thing too with ages is that she doesn't seem much older, but I guess she is supposed to be, but who cares? Whatever. But no, that's sort of, I guess it ends up being, there's just a lot of dances and a lot of little run-ins. And Fluffy himself is giving drugs to the kid. I forgot about that scene at the sorority.
Which really, that kind of got me wondering, like, did that hurt his good guy image?
Oh.
Because,
you know what I mean? Enrique Iglesias, the
Gabriel.
Okay, exist.
Well, he gives him like $10,000 worth of pills or whatever, and it's just like, and that's another thing. Like, how seedy is you have to excuse like the dogs in the background. they were let in last time when Karen and Jana brought them in, and they're wasteland wanderers. They never left the club.
You brought them in case Cody comes back. you can use them to intimidate him into giving you his money.
You ain't getting your it's like, give me my money and I'll give you back your dogs, Cody. That's the deal. If you hear me out there, I know you listen to the show. What were we talking about?
We're talking about Gabriel Iglesias and how I don't think this hurt his good guy image because it's a movie.
And he is still, well, it was just, he still played as kind of like a good
a likable guy.
Like, yeah. He's not the one beating everybody up. He's not the one doing this. He's just, you know, like, hey, you want to split some drugs with me and we can sell them and make some money? Yeah.
He kind of represents like, he represents the more like the darker elements of getting into the business. And these are the things that Brooke is scared for Adam. And like there's characters like, what's her name? Riley Keough? She shows up as a character.
Nora?
Yeah. Nora? Yeah. It's like, oh, Magic Mike tells Adam, you want to stay away from her. She's bad news. She's got a pig and everything. You know what I mean?
She's got a pig.
Clearly, like, they're the ones that are into, like, the hard drug stuff, and, like, it gets into that thing where, like, the camera gets all, like, weird and trippy when Adam gets into all this, and you get these weird, crazy moments where, like, the camera is, like, panning down, and it's people kissing, and then it keeps going down and down, and suddenly it's, like, it's transitioned to this other scene, and it's upside down, and it's some other people kissing and drugged out and everything, and it's just, like, that weird, signature, trippy Steven Soderbergh type stuff that you see.
That pig, did anybody else get the feeling that pig was not being well cared for? It was very sad and horrible.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was
guy.
The first milk that, or any liquid that pig has probably drank in weeks.
Well, and in that scene, he's like eating the throw up, and then he's pushing the bottle on the floor around trying to get to it, and I'm like,
oh, God.
This is disturbing. This pig, I don't care anything about these humans. I only care about this pig.
Somebody have you ever had a pig, or do you know anybody that has had a pig like that?
No, but, you know, I just...
Would you?
Tertiarily.
Did that make you want to get a pig?
You know, things like that, yeah.
These pigs seem rat... I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have one, but, like, I want to, like, hang out with one for a while. You know?
You can do that. They have farms and stuff that you can go to and visit pigs in the wasteland. You just have to get out of here a little bit, Ryan.
Just let me out. Go hang out with the pig.
Requires
you have any wild pigs,
security
Nick?
Clearance because they don't want you to eat the pigs.
Yeah, it's true. True.
True.
Dave starves you and withholds your bananas.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, it's so basically, like, her fears are kind of, like, you know, founded, like, Brooke's fears. Mm-hmm. Like, she comes over, like, hey, like, Adam hasn't come over or hasn't come home. What's going on? She goes to Mike's house. They have, like, this bender, and he's there with, like, you know, he's got the throw-up, like, next to his mouth and everything. She tries to resuscitate him.
I thought one of them was going to be dead, but...
Well, and this, and it's not like this movie pulls punches. Like, I think it leads you to believe that could be the case. He could be dead, and I think justifiably she's freaking out, especially like you said with all the implied past of this of his character and everything. Like, she knows what he could potentially do to himself.
So
it is a scary moment, and being in her position for that scene, like, I could see being like really pissed at Magic Mike, who's like, it's okay,
he said that you're being be taken care of and all that.
Yeah, he said he would take care of him, and here he is with, like, throw up and a pig, like, you know, next to his face and everything, eating his... Possibly dead, and meanwhile, he's just like, don't worry about it, you're acting crazy. I would be like, fuck you, like, get out of my face, this is my brother, you know, you don't know our past and all that stuff.
Here's a little secret for everybody listening to this. The surest way to make somebody act crazy is to tell them that they are acting crazy. That usually
or to, like, calm
does
down.
Not calm anybody down.
Yeah. That never settles anyone down when you say, calm down, you're acting crazy. There's really nothing you can say in that moment. You just have to shut up.
Yes,
like,
you're
not
going to
be able to say anything that's going to calm that person down.
Yes. And you glossed over, you know, one of the weirder, better, I don't know, more interesting parts of the movie, maybe more uncomfortable parts. Where the night before, he's with Matt Bomer, and his wife's just laying there topless. And he's like,
dude,
you can touch them if you want. And he's like, I love you. I fucking love you.
I know.
I love you.
That's when the 19-year-old came out, I think. You know, like, I was like, that's a 19-year-old. You know,
well, Matt Bomer was doing it back. And I was just like, is this like, is this what people think dudes are like? Like, dude, we're the best of friends because you let me touch your wife's boobs.
Matt Bomer has a very good line in that part because they're saying, I love you. I fucking love you. No, I love you. And then he goes, you're such a special soul.
Yes. His character is actually expanded, I think, if I remember, in the next movie, Magic Mike XXL, where he's like kind of like this like free spirit type of character. Like Magic Mike, just to give a little context for the sequels, Magic Mike XXL and Magic Mike's Last Dance. Magic Mike XXL is kind of like, what if we took that first movie and just got rid of all the drama and just amped up all the absurdity and the dance numbers? What if we just did all of that?
I feel like that's sequel. What this movie should have been. I feel like this movie was trying to kind of be two things.
Yeah.
And I personally don't think it really succeeded at either one. Mm. I don't think this is a very good movie.
No. Oh, you don't like it?
It's not.
Yeah,
good.
I agree with you. This
you
is
might
not
then
good
in that you case like, you might yeah, actually Nick, prefer the seen. Sequel then.
Wait, what?
What?
You might actually, in that if that's the case, you might actually prefer the sequel because, like I said, it kind of leans more into like the crazy dance absurdity
I think,
than this one does.
I think the best this okay now just you know hang on hold on with me all right. I think the best probably the best part of this movie is when Matthew McConaughey does his strip dance because I feel like that was like the most. Oh, this is a person actually doing, like, a strip routine. I thought he had the best one. It wasn't, like, you know, flashy gimmicky. It wasn't, like, dancing. It was, like, that to me was the most, like, this is a stripper performing.
It leaned into the eroticism more than the other dance moves
did. Yeah, and I thought that was probably the, I was, like, this is what, I think everybody thought kind of that was what the movie was going to be when it first came out. If it was like, and it was gross, I didn't find any of it good. But I thought that was probably
not
the
even
best
the Raining Men one.
I agree with you, Kara, completely because I think that scene of Matthew McConaughey dancing, kind of what you're saying, is like felt like the most honest and genuine part of the movie, or authentic to the actual world that it's pretending to portray. And we finally got to see, because as terrible and as gross as Matthew McConaughey is, I don't feel like this movie deserves him or Channing Tatum, because I do like Channing Tatum a lot in the movie, but I just don't think the movie can really keep up with them. And you get a greater sense of authenticity when Matthew McConaughey dances, because it does feel like it feels gross and it's more honest about that, I feel like.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I think the weak link of this movie really, for me personally, was the Adam character. And like, we've touched on, like, he just doesn't look like a 19-year-old. And I don't know. Like, honestly, every time he was on screen, which was frequent, I not tuned out, but just was sort of, like, not as interested as I could have been. Like, as you said, Channing Tatum is such a great presence, and Matthew McConaughey, while not a likable character, is still a presence, and you're kind of, you know, your eyes are kind of glued to the screen because it's such a performance. And when the kid shows up, which is, like I said, frequent, it's kind of like, this isn't as good as it could be.
I think they did a much, much better job, and it could just be the actor or the character that he's playing, of implying stuff about Matthew McConaughey's character just from the little screen time he had than they do about Adam's character.
Yeah,
because I feel like you know who Matthew McConaughey is kind of as a person, that character. You're like, okay, I know who this is. But Adam, I'm like, when he like aggressively, you know, like shoves that guy at the bar, I'm like, okay, that was kind of sudden. I didn't think that the girl would be like, oh, thank you. Like, if that was me, I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? You seem crazy.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah, this guy is scarier than the other.
Yes! That guy accidentally bumped me. You're gonna like fight this guy. I don't know who you are.
Because he's handsome. This is the rule of.
He's 21.
This is the rule of being handsome. If you're handsome, what is it people say about 50 Shades of Grey? It's like if he was poor and in Alabama or whatever, he'd be arrested.
I guess for me, the problem with Adam is, well, I don't think he's a very good actor. And I think, like, to Kara's point, you don't get really. The way they build his character is very confusing. Like, you get these conflicting shades. Like, when he offers to pay Channing Tatum's gas, I'm like, okay, he's a good, you know, that's like comes off the cross as like, oh, you know, he's kind of selfless. He's becoming a better guy because he's around Channing Tatum. But the way he turns from to basically pseudo drug lord almost. It's like so sudden and inexplicable, and we're just supposed to rely on some of, like I said, the breadcrumbs that they gave us before. But and I think you know, he's just not a good actor to me. And he doesn't really compel. And the biggest problem I think for me and him is that he is so present in the movie. He's such a big character.
I think you nailed on something. Like because as we said, McConaughey is a scumbag, but nevertheless, we are drawn to the screen, like, because this performance is so great. We can't say the same thing for the Adam character, and I think it might be kind of due to the actor. He's just not bringing it, because you know, you can be an unlikable character, but you could still be like, you know, you draw the eyes to the screen. So it's like, I think that might be the problem. Just the actor in the role is just not doing it.
Because he seems to me like he doesn't evolve, like, in terms of his, his character, because he starts out, it's okay to start out shy and then, you know, come into his own. But I feel like the movie has tried to tell us that he's been this way from the beginning, but it didn't feel like that to me.
He's not a good actor. Alex Pettifer was not a great actor. But I think that he did he did a really, really good job with was when he was tripping. I was like, this looks like the most miserable thing I've ever, when he's laying in the truck. And I'm like, this dude looks like he wishes he was dead.
I like those camera angles, like the tilted camera angles, so you get both of their perspectives, like Brooke looking back at him, the camera's all tilted, and then you get his perspective laying down on the back seat looking up at her. Like, that was a really cool moment. I really like that.
And great shot composition, the back and forth, and he does play a good, like, dead body.
She's a table. It's perfect. I will say, I have one thing that I really do like about the Brooke character, and, you know, watching it this time, when I first saw, I hated her. This time I was like, all right, I do kind of get what they're trying to do with her, but maybe she's not the best actress either, and so that's why it comes off just incredibly wooden. She sticks up for herself. She tells him, I can't do this anymore, and then she lets him go, and she says, Adam's going to do what the fuck Adam's going to do. Like, when you're talking about people who spiral, you know, and stuff like that, learning the lesson of, I can't control them.
It takes a while to realize that sometimes.
And it's a very important lesson. So I think that that is one good thing that this movie, you know, shined a light on.
How did you like the way her character ended with Mike?
Breakfast has never been sexier.
I thought it came out of nowhere. I was like, because she said, door is always open if you want to talk. And so, and I remembered when I first saw it, I actually remembered it ending with them just talking, not, you know, basically going to go bang each other. I was like, oh.
For 7 hours.
I thought that
she
I
says it's 7 hours until my favorite breakfast place opens. What were we possibly going to do for 7 hours?
Yeah, because I remembered it ending with them being like, no, we're not going to go that far yet. We're going to, you know, because he had.
That was my memory too, actually. Yeah.
I think that would have been better. I think that, you know, he wasn't a bit.
We're going to get to that point eventually where we're having 7-hour marathon sets, but not yet.
I think the way that it ended, throughout, they're, like, really towing the line of this being, instead of, like, this can be the truth of this industry, they're, like, really towing a line of truth of the industry versus stripping is a terrible job, that's horrible, nobody should do it, shame, shame, shame on strippers. Yeah. And I feel like the way they ended it, where he was like, hey, I am not a stripper anymore, and she's like, okay, now I'll have sex with you, they don't do a good enough job. They don't do a good enough job making it, the reason she doesn't want to get involved with him, because obviously she likes him a lot, they get along, they have all that banter, obviously they get along very well. But she just doesn't want to be in the environment. And they don't do a good job of making it clear it's the drugs and the lifestyle that comes along with being a stripper, not the fact that he is a stripper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kara. There's a couple moments that I thought were actually good at building that. Like, I think my favorite moment that outlines the kind of the griminess of Mike's environment is when he's trying to thin out his ones, and then he places the heavy book on them to like flatten it out. Like that felt very palpable to me. It's like, oh man, I'm spending, you know, he's probably spending an hour just thinning out ones. Like, how depressing is that, you know?
A lot of ones.
Yeah, because you don't want to know what he has to do for his 20s, but but yeah, so I think there's some cool stuff that they do to build that. But like you said, they don't. It almost feels instantaneous the way that she switches into that. Okay, yeah.
Yes, it was. You're right. That I'm glad you brought up that dollar bill point. It was like sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah,
very
exactly. Sad. That's the stuff that, and there is some stuff that I think amplify the. I think the effect it's going for, like, I did really, like, at first I hated it, but I came around to really liking the color grading that they use during the daytime because it's so gross. And it's like, oh, you know, when they're not in their party atmosphere, they're living in a gross world because they're, you know, they're basically faced to be sober. And it's a gross world because, they're living on the margins, which is, you know, unfortunate. But so I do think there's a couple things that they do that is really interesting and amplifies that. But the way they tie it together sometimes doesn't come completely together to me.
Yeah. And it's not sex work and stripping can be great. It can be empowering. You know, I don't know from firsthand experience, but I don't want to.
Have you seen Flashdance? They do amazing numbers on this stage.
Is that a strip? She's a stripper.
She's not a stripper. That's one of your fan fictions.
Well, remember in that one too, it did the same kind of thing of like, you don't want to go to the
dark side,
the strip club where you're gonna be trash. You know, that
but
kind
I
of thing.
Think that in this. You know, is what the Matthew McConaughey character is to me too, and the Gabriel Iglesias character. It can be maybe this is probably what they were trying to do with Adam. It just wasn't super, and Mike, it just wasn't super successful, I don't think. It can be a place for people who feel marginalized, and those people are very easy to take advantage of. And they're very easy for predators like Matthew McConaughey. Yes, he is a predator in this. It's very easy for predators like that and like drug dealers, you know, like Gabriel Iglesias, the people that he rolls with and stuff like that. It's very easy for them to get to these marginalized characters when you're in environments like that. So I think that it was trying to kind of shed a light on that as well. I actually, before the apocalypse, I knew somebody that was a stripper. She was actually working her way through college. You know, we had colleges back then. They were learning institutions, Dave, don't you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she said everybody that she worked with was strung out on drugs. And it's like, it's not inherent to that type of work. And it's not inherently bad type of work. It's just, you know, oftentimes the type of people that it can draw to it, and people who are going to prey on them, and power hungry and money hungry people like Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey was preying on Adam. That is what he was doing. He was taking somebody who was 19 years old, who didn't feel like they had a place in the world. He gave him a little taste of money and, you know, feeling powerful on stage. But it's not, unless you are very secure in your place in the world and yourself, it's not necessarily a genuine power.
You scramble.
Yeah, yes. And I think, I don't know if you caught Flashdance, but I was thinking a lot about Flashdance in this movie because Flashdance does a great job of juxtaposing two worlds in the same realm. So there, in Flashdance, there's the good club where she originates.
There's Mobby's Bar.
And, you know, they have this great creative freedom, it seems like, to pursue their art and all this stuff.
They're doing full-on music videos on stage.
I know. It's great. And then you have the ugly bar that's topless and just slimy, and it's just very gross. And you have this very clear distinction between worlds. But I don't think you really get that here, except for maybe when things spiral out of control with the drugs. But even that feels like... Another, like, they introduce the blonde character with the pig, and she doesn't, does she even have a line? Like, she...
I think that's what's interesting.
She does. He says, demons or angels, and she says...
Oh, yeah, she does it.
Oh, right.
So she knows the kinds of drugs she wants.
Yes.
Well, like, I don't know. I think, though, that the Flashdance of like the Skeamy and this is more modern in the way of like, it is like I think like, even like what Jana was just saying, like even like there's this empowering thing. This isn't for everybody, but it is at night. It is like in a place of, you know, debauchery even if it isn't, if they are doing this on their own will, volition, but it's just like, still like there's always like those things you have to dodge. And I'm sure there's people that can get through it. And especially today, like this is now, this is 2012, which is not, doesn't seem that long ago, but like there's just a totally different outlook, I think, in the last 10 years, I think, of this, oh, yeah, this work definitely. Too. But it's like, however years it is, because we're millions of years in the future. But
millions. But
I don't know, like, I see what you're all saying. There's definitely like a little bit of like, you know, this doesn't get too in the depths as I think as it should, but I still think it's like an enjoyable, like movie though. I don't know. Like there's nothing. I like it too. Like, I don't think
this was of the Magic Mike series. The first Magic Mike, I kind of equate it to the first Rocky. Like Rocky was like the real drama Oscar-y. I'm not saying Magic Mike deserves Oscars, but what I mean is like Rocky was like the real drama heavy movie of that series. And then as the sequels came along, it became more about like crazy montages and the fight sequences and all that stuff. It kind of veered away a bit from the heavy drama. And I feel like it's the same thing with the Magic Mike series. You get this first one, which is like, you know, you have these amazing like dance numbers, but then it also has a lot of this drama heavy stuff. And then as the sequels come along, it becomes more and more absurd. Where it's like, we're less about the drama and more, but just about the crazy dance numbers. I'm sure there's some people out there that would disagree with that statement, but particular Magic Mike XXL, that movie is just, that is a comedy. I'm sorry. Magic Mike XXL is a comedy with like these crazy dance numbers and crazy like comedic sequences.
I feel I've seen XXL and I actually like XXL quite a bit. And I think that the seriousness, despite the comedic effects, it treats things way more authentically and way more credibly, especially sexual politics and gender relations. I think it's way more sussed out in XXL as opposed to, like, I honestly don't think the relationship between Mike and Brooke is really anything special. Like, it's, I don't think Brooke is a great character either.
Well, spoiler alert, it doesn't work between the two of them, as we find out in the sequels.
So I go to bat for XXL.
It's a fun movie. I enjoyed it too. Yeah.
I don't think that Brooke and Mike are OTP, but she might just be his first like grown up relationship.
Maybe. Yeah, that's kind of that's probably what you're. Yeah, you're onto something with that.
Yeah.
Even though like Olivia Munn is like a freaking gonna be a doc. What is she gonna be?
Psychologist. And she has a fiance. Did anybody else get the vibe that the fiance knew that she?
I think it's maybe she's had that guy for a long time, you know.
Yeah, and I think he like any other movie, he'd be like, "Who the hell is this guy?" But he was just like, "I'm gonna go to the bathroom," because you can tell there is weird tension between them. He's like, "I'm just gonna go to the bathroom."
She has a whole other life too, basically.
He knows that she fucked around.
Yeah, she has a whole other life that doesn't.
So what I thought was, because I wasn't sure how much time had passed, but it seems like quite a bit of time had passed, because he was like, hey, I haven't seen you, I haven't called me, we haven't talked in a little while. And she was like, oh, this is my fiance. So I thought she got engaged and then stopped talking to him.
Well, no, because
I think
movie takes
it goes
over
between June and September, this movie.
Yeah, it's just one summer, this whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's probably been in that relationship with that guy. And that was that one, their last little meetup. She seemed like pretty distraught, like almost like, you know, she
like, oh god,
like she can't keep doing this sort of thing that she's been doing.
He's,
or maybe
getting
attached. She's had her, yeah, she's had her own like little, or yeah, exactly, like,
oh yeah, that could be it.
Like, I don't know, like,
yeah, like she's like, oh, you want to like talk all of a sudden, like, what is this?
You can have sex but no feelings.
Yeah, like, and you know, more power to them for having an open relationship, that's wonderful. It's just, you know, it was a
Mike was looking for different things at that point.
It was just a little bit because he was in the dark about it, we were also in the dark about it, and I was like, is this the vibe of like, you've been cheating with me? Or is it the vibe of, this guy absolutely knows what's going on and he's cool with it, and I kind of got the latter.
Well, it's also kind of just like, yeah, because him, from his perspective, like, you know, she's like, no, I don't really want feelings or anything like that. And Mike does. And now suddenly he sees her and, like, I guess that has suddenly changed. Now she does want, like, a hard relationship. And you know what I mean? Like, and I feel he's probably just like, well, why couldn't that have been with me?
Yes.
I wanted to talk a few months ago. Remember?
I think he wasn't really ready either. Like, he's kind of like all over the place, sort of has this. I think Kim himself has, like, this outward look of himself that's not really. He hasn't quite come to terms with or something, or that's sort of like the, I think it's all, it's really, yeah, it's about trying to just like, I don't know. Like, I think it's a great character. I think it's,
He's good in it. Scene when he talks to Brooke after, he goes to see Brooke. Well, no, he goes to see Adam, but he's not there. So, and then he notices Brooke is at the house and he talks. That scene with her when he's like, hey, I'm sorry that I fucked up. I told you that I'd look out for your brother and I didn't. I thought Tatum was really, really good in that scene because it gets to what you were saying before where it doesn't feel overly written. It feels kind of natural, the dialogue. Like, he's stumbling a lot. He's like stuttering, you know, like it doesn't feel. It feels very natural.
And he says, I'm not my lifestyle. And it's like, yeah. Yes, except that you have allowed yourself to become your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't think that you are your lifestyle, but it's been 6 years and you have absolutely. So that goes to your point about not being honest with himself, with who he is and what he's become. And maybe he didn't want to, but I think he has
a lot of shame.
He hasn't realized.
Well, I think Jana's right, because Mike is basically, I think what he's learning is that he thinks he's in control, but he's really not. Because, and it culminates in a lot of different ways. You know, his house gets trashed, he gets beat up, but we've seen signs of him out of control. Like, he's certainly not in control of his future. You know, he's trying to be reliant on the banks, and currently he's relying on Matthew McConaughey and his scumbag contractor boss guy. AKA Dave.
Yeah. And he keeps, you know, 15 grand in his it's just a safe, you know. It's like, ugh, like, it's tough.
Yeah, because he has money and he has nice things, but it's like, but what he doesn't have is what,
the love of himself.
What he doesn't have is the ability to get stability that money and nice things is supposed to bring you, because he hasn't grown up.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is kind of a trope of that era. That's such a, like, late 2000s, early 2010s trope. Men especially.
When you guys were talking about, like, comparing this, like, say, Rocky or even Flashdance, like, those kind of, this movie does have an old kind of structure to it. Like, it does feel like a movie that could have came out in the 80s if, like, we weren't so, you know, case of the not gays back then, you know, kind of thing. It kind of has that, like, this, the structure and the character wise. And I think you're all onto something about, like, the other characters sort of not quite shining through as much as they could. But I think the focus, and there is, like, slight this kind of focus thing that's maybe not quite successful. But I do think that Mike's a good drawn out character. At least his arc is great.
Yeah, I think Mike is a good character. Like I said, I think Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey really bring their A game, but the movie doesn't match it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had one, this didn't ruin the movie, but I kept thinking about it because I kept going to Channing Tatum's house for so many times. I'm like, how does he afford this place?
I know, his house is so nice.
I mean, that place is, it's like, oh my God, that place
isn't
is
it, like,
awesome.
On the beach too, or near
it's
the ocean?
On the beach.
It's really damn close at the very least.
Yeah, it's like a condo.
This is how I made it make sense in my head. It's Tampa, which presumably is a little bit less expensive than, you know, like Miami or whatever.
Yeah, okay. It's on the east side of Florida, or west
side
of Florida.
And I was like, when you see Matthew McConaughey's house, I was like, what the fuck? And there's no way that this is paying for that. And Cody whispered in my ear, yes, it absolutely is. So I guess there is a lot of money to be made.
Well,
the thing is, here's the thing about how they say the one night that they see how much they made. They said they made like $2,500.
Holy shit! I must have missed that.
Like, they said the total, but I'm like, I guess if they're doing that every night, you know, and Matthew McConaughey is taking all the, you know, the big money.
Well, and Mike gets 7.5%.
It was supposed to be 10.
Does he get 7.5%? 7.5% currently, or is he gonna get 7.5%?
I think he's gonna, right?
I think he's going to, because I think they're all this is the funny thing about this movie is like they keep saying equity, but I don't know if any of them know what that means.
Yeah.
But that's what they're all shooting for. When they go to Miami, they're going to get equity.
Well, even at the end, Adams is like, no, I'm not worried about this at all, man. Like, Matthew McConaughey told me something about this equity thing, and I'm going to be equity rich.
I think that movies, especially in this time period, and especially with young men a lot of the time, have this feeling. They have, like, it's like movie makers think young guys don't know what life's all about. Young guys don't know what to do with themselves. Young guys are just, you know, wandering around aimlessly in the world. Da, 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 da. And it's like,
well, we are idiots.
I don't know anybody that, you know, I don't know anybody that this movie made me think like, oh yeah, Adam's like this person. And it's just like, you know, obviously movies kind of hype up and characterize what's happening in real life, but I think that's one reason why this movie and some movies, you know, where it's just like have been unsuccessful for me is like, I cannot fit this into my experience of life or anybody that I know. So it just doesn't make any sense.
I saw a lot of some particular people I know, I feel really? Like, in this. Especially with Mike and the Adam character a lot. And not quite to the extremes, but just like of their lives of bouncing between jobs and like not and selling things to like and just but like doing well. There's other ways of doing well, but then like, you know, spends money in the wrong places and stuff like that. And I've been like all the way into like their 30s and it just haven't quite figured it out yet, you know. And so I don't know. I that's maybe why I like it a lot.
Could
just
be,
like,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I don't know, so it's something about that. So I don't know, not quite to the extreme, and they're not, you know, of freaking getting beat up for selling, you know, ecstasy to kids on.
But he didn't even do sorority. It, and he got beat up anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that is nuts. That whole
scene,
thing,
like
with
when
the cops.
He gives that girl ecstasy at that like private party or that sorority party, and it cuts back to her, and she is just like a zombie, like ugh.
Those well. She's not even that.
You give my girlfriend ecstasy.
I know, it's as funny as those kids playing like pool or just like watching this as they happen.
So weird.
Yeah, they're so weird. They're like so like, ugh, what do we do? And those guys look like kids. Like they all look like little kids. And then the way he comes marching over to like fight him, it's so funny. he's like working it up. Yeah, he's like trying to work up like for like an hour or whatever while they're dancing.
Well,
because
he doesn't
girls.
Have a 12-pack abs like Channing Tatum does.
There is no way that little guy would have taken on 6'1" jacked up Channing Tatum.
Well, it's also
that's why I use the beer bottle.
Yeah,
yes, that sorority house good scene, point. Like when Mike and Adam go, it's like a private dancing at the sorority house, and they come as, you know, the
cops,
the tropey like. Cops, you know, strippers dressed as cops thing. And this is such a weird dynamic because it's a sorority house, but like, I guess all of these girls' boyfriends are just in the other room while this is happening.
Well, it was
like, it's a very weird setup.
He said, we're going to a sorority party. And it's
so that's
like,
probably
it.
Oh,
well, yeah, but you also invited the fraternity to this party?
Yes.
Understand.
Yeah.
Very weird.
And they're all kind of like, it's like a dance. Like, they're like on the other side of the gym, basically, not dancing with the girls. And then these guys come in and just take over, you know, like I don't know. It's pretty wild. Like, it's like scary because he's like trying to arrest this girl. And these kids all look so young too. And
yes.
And,
well, it reminded me a little bit of that scene from Eastern Promises when Viggo Mortensen's in that shower and he's naked and he's fighting all those guys, because basically Channing Tatum, I mean, he has like they're wearing thongs, but no, I know, but like, there's so many shots where, like, because like the thong is like so thin up his crack, like it looks as if he's not wearing any pants or any underwear. So it looks as if he's totally fighting naked.
He's like throwing these guys through the roof. He's like, yeah. He does look like a huge. He looks like they're fighting the Hulk. Like, it's like.
Yes. That's how I know he's 6'1". I was like, okay, how tall is Channing Tatum?
But yeah, like, if anyone listening hasn't seen this movie as we're describing the scene, like, that is spot on. Ryan has described it spot on. Imagine if, like, these 19-year-old dweebs are in this sorority house and they're fighting the Hulk, who is naked. Like, that's basically what this scene is.
Yeah, and everyone's screaming. Okay. There's a lot of screaming. I think somebody outside my the store next door heard the screams from my my TV, and so I heard a window shut in last night. So like there's a lot of screaming in the movie, and I just heard like in the middle of the movie, like woof, like a big window closed.
Our neighbor's watching Magic Mike again.
Your commercial neighbors are saying, Dave, every time you watch Flash,
they just like, it's that Maniac song again, shut the window.
They're like, it's not enough to shut the window. We have to like freaking spray paint it so that we can glimpse through.
Since I will say that since we've begun this promotion, Hot Days Summer Film Fest Part 4, I've noticed that there are a lot of for sale signs in our adjacent businesses. Like, they've all moved out for some reason. I don't know why.
I was very worried when I was when I hacked into the store chat again and was posting in there about Magic Mike. I was like, please do not think that I'm going to become like Dave with Flash Dance and be like, oh, I'm sweating. This movie's so sexy.
Well,
okay, there's a question. Who thought this movie was sexy?
I do not think it's sexy, but I do not think, I fully understand that there is a lot about this movie that is outside of my own experience in so many different ways that it's like, this movie just is not for me. So looking into it as an outsider, you know, some of it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I do not think that half-naked men dancing, strangers putting your crotch up to their face is sexy. So.
What was that like with, because it was all the women kind of went to this thinking it was going to be a party like that. Did they all come out of it like, ugh? Like, or what was the initial reaction? Or were they all like?
So, short story, I have been around a male stripper once, and that was for one of my friend's bachelorette parties. There was six of us. Three of us were extremely uncomfortable and hated the whole thing and laughed about a lot of it. And then three of us were very into it. So it was that same group of people. So I'd say, yeah, it was about an even split of people that were like, Channing Tatum is hot, or, you know, Alex Pettifer is hot, but them gyrating on stage and like picking you up and putting your crotch in their face and stuff is not my idea of sexy. And then the other three were like, oh, they're so hot.
Well, I just can't help but think, like, you know, they're all dancing and stuff, they're working up a sweat. The last place I would want to be is someone's crotch when they've been dancing around sweating.
Well, that's what they want. Like, they want the sweat.
An hour.
They want that sweat.
That's why they're sitting in the splash zone.
Yeah.
I wish that we, and I'm not at all judging women that think that that stuff is sexy. I wish that we had someone here that did think that.
Yeah.
And then they could kind of, you know, explain their thinking, you know, or why or whatever. And then maybe I could understand it a little bit
better. So if you're out in the waste, stop by the store. Let us know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's, I don't know. I can't think.
I mean, I thought, I'll say, like, just as an appreciator of the male body, like,
they all look great.
There was a sexy element to some of the dance, especially Channing Tatum was really the one that brought all the dancing. Like, I gotta say, like, Kevin Nash was like not.
Oh, yeah, it's funny like, watching him in the background. There's
you could tell he was just slowly waving his arms. Like, I could tell the direction was like, hey, Steve, like, I'll do this, but like, I'm not really a dancer. Can you just film me in the background where you can't really see me?
I mean, I can empathize with him because I am very stiff like him, but he is supposed to be a dancer.
Yes.
And there's this one shot that cracks me up. It's him and I forget the other dancer, but they're in the background. They're both supposed to be doing jumping jacks. One is jumping. Kevin Nash is literally just standing and waving his arms.
That's pretty funny.
I did notice that too, yeah.
But I think that there is an element of sexiness to this, but I think, like, as opposed to Flashdance, like, I didn't think the dance numbers, for the most part here, were very inventive. Like, they're mostly gimmicky, the Tarzan thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Then there's the doctor where they're spinning the woman on the gurney or whatever.
He's just humping her. I'm like,
well, you're right. Tate
just humped her back to life.
I understood what he was doing. I just didn't think it was sexy.
But you're absolutely right, Nick. Tatum is the one with the clear dance skills. I mean, he is flipping around doing these crazy things, and his range of movement is very fluid, you know?
Well, you know who else got into it? And so I did like watching. Matt Bomer was a little less stiff than Kevin Nash. And bless him, he was trying his heart out. And I just think he's maybe one of the top three most gorgeous men in the entire world. But Joe,
in the world, wow. The world.
But Joe, I mean, obviously besides certain other people, but in real life. But Joe Manganiello was having a blast.
Yeah, he was funny.
I wanted more of him, to be honest.
You get more of him in the sequel.
That's another reason why I like it.
Because also, he doesn't seem... Him and then the other guy, not...
The Latino guy.
They seem to be like, yes, this is our job, but we don't do any of this other stuff. Yeah. Like, but maybe that's just because they're not, like, in the spotlight, but it seems like they weren't kind of getting into all the drugs and all that stuff.
And the sex and the rock and roll.
They're just like, yeah, we like to have sex, waggle about on stage.
We like to make
waggle
money.
About.
See, that's so Joe Manganiello, I think, is a very good, and at least as little as we get of him in the movie, he would be who I was referencing earlier about people who, as long as you are very secure and sure in yourself, this type of job would be, you know, perfectly fine and great and wonderful and probably very lucrative. It's just the 19-year-olds who are lost in the world and the Magic Mikes who are like, this isn't what I want to do, but I'm stuck in it. That's where it becomes harmful.
Yeah. It's trying to think of, like, I mean, it could be, like, anything. Like, it's just, like, their life as male strippers is sort of just, like, the crux. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, another job that you could replace this with or something, but I don't know.
Video store.
Probably, video store. Probably, you know, just those brain dead 9-to-5, I go sit at a desk and I hate my life.
Or like the sort of thing. The admin in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, like, it, you know, they could be, if they were in the nightlife, like if they're like, you know, doormen at a club or something, like it's sort of just like it's a vibe, I think. And I don't know. It'd be curious for people to have someone more involved in that kind of stuff. Because I've never been to like a Chippendales show, but I'm curious if this is really on top of like basically exactly it. Like the dances aren't that unique and they're just kind of like really just guys humping in the air kind of thing.
That's kind of what I've heard from people who have gone like to Chippendales type things, that it's very much like way more so than anything else. Like it's very much just like I'm gonna like grind my pelvis in your face for like a few minutes type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta go really far into the waist to get to those Chippendales shows.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, any kind of like a stripper show I've been has never really been as you know, they're not having umbrellas out there with rain and doing raindrops are falling on my head.
Let's flip this to the other side. I've never been to a strip club. Have any of you ever been to a strip club? Do you think that's sexy?
Have, and it's always weird, but yeah, maybe in a different way. It's entertainment, you know.
So yeah, I remember they must be, the women in the movie who are enjoying it must feel the same way.
Well, I remember the first time I went to a strip club, and it was just like, I was more uncomfortable than anything else initially, because it's just like,
yeah, first time.
I remember thinking at the time, it's just like, I do not want to get aroused, because I would feel like, you know, like there's a spotlight on me somehow, just like, look at that guy, he's got a boner. You know,
I'm sure they're like, used I would just, to it, Dave.
Well, no, but yeah,
I'm sure
but
you
not
don't
me.
Have
not
you
in
haven't
that.
Seen.
But not in that. But in that moment, I wasn't used to it. Like I, you know, I was just like I felt uncomfortable. It's just like I was honestly, I remember thinking like, you know, I was doing that thing like think about baseball or something like that. Meanwhile, like this girl's like sexually dancing and taking her top off and all this stuff, and it's just like initially like I didn't know how to feel.
I don't think it's. I mean, I don't even think you need to go and like think it's like, oh, this is sexy. It's more of like this crazy entertainment kind of thing.
So yeah, like, it must be the same way for the women.
Yeah, and you're like, oof, that was, you know, that was smoking, but you're not like freaking getting boners around here, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's true. Women don't get
boners. Yeah,
but in this movie, like the women are kind of rabid.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, I mean that's part.
That's what I was wondering about. I'm like, is that real?
That,
like,
that's part of the thing.
Our mother has gone to a Chippendales type show before, way before the apocalypse, and she said yes, it is exactly,
yeah, it's like it's almost like part of the fun. It's like almost like going to like see, I don't know, like a boy band or something, and you're just like,
she didn't like it. She did not like it. She was not comfortable, but she said yes, that those women really do act like that.
It's like you get caught up in the hysteria.
It's like, yeah, just like fun. Like, it's part of like the thing of like just everyone going woo. Like, even if it's like shitty,
crowd mentality.
You know? Yeah.
My friend in high school had two aunts that really liked Thunder from Down Under in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And they went multiple times, and there was one dancer that one of her aunts was like, "That's my boyfriend. I see him every time." And I was just, I think like she did it in like a jokey way, not like really thought like, "No, that's my boyfriend."
But it does. Yeah. I mean, you do hear about you know parasocial type of stuff happening between strippers and
especially. I'm curious. I mean, I don't know what the difference with, I mean, male strippers to the, you know, female ones, but like I'm curious. It's probably so much different even with the female ones, because they never get into like stuff like private dances in this. They don't get into that kind of stuff. It's always like a lot of group stuff going on with them. Like with the female stuff, it's always like more probably intense and like harder and everything too. And their lives, if they're actually getting up close like one-on-one with these people in like, you know, private rooms and shit. So I don't know. It's weird. It's a whole world.
It'd be interesting to get a stripper's perspective on the movie. I would be.
Yeah, you should have got one on. Should have found one in Bartertown.
Come on, Dave. Come on, Dave. You gotta be better at booking these celebrities.
Well, anyway, yeah, if there's any strippers out there, male or female, in the wasteland, call in or email us. Let us know what your experience is like. Is this movie spot on? Yeah, comment. Is this movie spot on, or is it way too exaggerated? Like, what's going on? We want to know.
All right, well, the dogs are scratching at the door to go out, so.
Let's get into final recommendations. Ryan, we'll start with you. Would you recommend Magic Mike?
I agree with everything you guys are saying. I did enjoy it, and I'm excited to. I never seen XXL. I've seen this one almost all the way through, but this felt like a new watch for me. But I liked it. I think it's kind of classic, like kind of story. You know,
it's a classic kind of story.
No, I just think like, you know, like the
boy, they become strippers.
Yeah. Well, like I'm talking about like the far as like the, you know, we've watched both, you know, I don't think it's not the same level, but we did watch Saturday Night Fever, and there's a little bit of that in the, you know, DNA of that in this, I think. But I think it's good. I think it's a solid movie. I'm excited to watch the second one here, as I hear it's great and more crazy. And I like Soderbergh's stuff. I love that he takes chances and tries different things. And I think there's good performances that make the movie worthwhile. So it's not quite like a high recommendation, but I think it's like a mid one, you know?
It's very mid. Okay.
Kara, what about you? Would you recommend Magic Mike?
I don't know. I mean, if you want to watch it. No, just watch other movies. If you want to see adorable Channing Tatum, watch Step Up. Like, the whole time, I was just like, man, I wish I was watching Step Up. Because I want to see him dancing, not him kind of faux dancing. I just want to see him dancing, because he's so good at it. Watch Step Up. Watch this if you want. It has more, like, don't go in expecting, like, oh, this, it's deeper than you think. So either go in expecting to dissect each one to try to find the levels, or just defy, like, don't go in with any expectations and expect it only to be wacky, dancing, being wacky, then you might like it more. I don't think it's very good at all. Watch Step Up. That's better.
Okay, Jenna, how about you?
No, I do not recommend it. I think that, but again, that's, you know, if you are somebody who, like Ryan said, he does know people that were kind of like, it speaks to his experience of life more than mine. So it's like, if that does sound like something where you're like, yeah, maybe I could relate to this, or know people who have been like this, or I've been like this, then go ahead. Maybe, you know, maybe it would be worthwhile for you. Maybe you could get something out of it. Somebody who has no experiences with that at all, or likes male stripper dancers, it had nothing for me besides the evilness that is Matthew McConaughey and adorable Channing Tatum. But again, there, like Kara said, there's more videos out there where you can get that. Also, I will say one positive. I really do appreciate and like that Channing Tatum was able to get movies that followed his passion. So he was able to figure out how to do dance movies because he likes to dance. Yeah. And I will say I appreciate that Matthew McConaughey was was able to sing his little song. Play his little guitar in this movie. And so
that almost felt like a thing like, hey, Steve, can I sing my
song
and play my guitar?
Yes, I did have mad respect for actors kind of being like, this is what I am passionate about and like to do. Can I do movies about it or have movies be, can I add it to movies that I'm in? I did have respect for that.
Cool.
Mm. Well, Nick, what about you? Would you recommend Magic Mike?
Probably not. I think I, to Kara's point about the layers and stuff like that, I probably am a little bit more surgical in how I dissect films. And to me, there are layers here, but even those are a bit compromised through muddled ingredients that just don't come together fully for me. I do recommend XXL, just to put that out there. I think that one's quite a really
That's
good movie.
That's the third one?
That's the second one. Oh. I haven't seen the third one.
What's the third one, Dave? You're the expert.
Third one is called Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Oh, and is that the one with Selma Hayek?
Yeah.
That's what Selma Hayek, she plays a huge part in that. And it basically becomes, that movie is basically like she's rich and she wants to put on this big production, if I recall. And she gets Magic Mike and he helps her put on this production, I believe in London, I think.
She's,
if I remember
it's more,
correctly.
Yeah, it's more of like a different type of movie, more like a
It
stage.
Does feel very different, yeah.
So maybe he does get to dance a little more in that. Does he get to dance more?
Like
in
a serious way, like he's literally putting on this like dance
it's
production.
It's like his
but
Staying, it's like Staying, I mean, I haven't seen Staying Alive, but it's like the Staying Alive of this universe.
Yeah, it's kind of like he helps her put on this big dance or this big musical or whatever, but he integrates his past or his male stripper like past within the production.
It's like they took the first movie and took out all of like the dancing part and made XXL, and then took all like the drama part and made Last Dance.
It's like they mixed Magic Mike and Step Up.
Yes,
I gotta see Step Up.
You gotta see it.
You gotta
watch like that's
all
ultimately
the
takeaway.
It's they're not good movies, but the dancing is
phenomenal.
And there is another character, so he's not in the first one, but he's in all the other ones. I can't remember his name, but he is like a character.
A tall, gangly guy?
Yeah, he's in like all of them. He's great. He's wonderful.
Well, yeah, I would recommend Magic Mike, but I will point out, I think Nick, you were right, and Kara, that it does have muddled sort of layers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, like it's not like a full hearted like you gotta see Magic Mike recommendation, but it's more of a light recommend.
And
I did enjoy
people
it.
Who liked it. That's good for you. Yes.
No, I didn't get the sense that you were judging me, Kara, for recommending the movie. But that'll do. Well, hold on.
Oh no.
That'll do it for this episode of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. When we return, we're going to class this joint up a little bit, baby, with Billy Elliot. What do you think about that?
The Oscar grab.
We're going for Oscar gold with our next movie.
Damn, that's so horrible.
Come back and join us, won't you?
If you do that in real life in front of me, I might have to. I might have a visceral reaction.
Just throw up on his face.
I might throw up on your face.
And then a pig comes along.
Well, we are in real life right now, Jenna, so that's why there's a layer of plexiglass between us so that you can't
Dave, what did
so
you,
that you can't attack
what
me.
What did you think of Alex Pettifer's Arnold impression?
Oh, I think it was okay at first, but then it veered into the more standard, like,
It went into the Rob, the Conan a bit, you know, kind of thing.
I thought it was good. He has a very deep voice, which might be another reason why he doesn't seem like he's 19 years old. He's not American.
He just wasn't cast right.
Well, and he's putting on an American accent. I can't remember where he's from, but I believe he is from somewhere else. So maybe that was another reason why his voice was so deep.
Yeah.
Well, enough about him. When we come back, we'll be putting on our dance tapping shoes, and we'll be watching Billy Elliot. Jenna, where are you going?
She's left the store. She's gone.
Oh, she's leaving. Bye,
bye, everybody. Bye, bye, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Even though we gotta go, there's one thing you gotta know. Ain't no matter how much you love me for sure. I love you more than you know you got me tied.
the night.